Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Even after the win two nights ago, where I had no belief in them, I'm not going to react to a game where they come back, even in a game that they were down. They don't have enough. I mean, I said this a week ago, and it was dead on correct. The New York Mets don't have enough to get over the finish line. Four games to go. They still have the one game lead because the Diamondbacks and Reds both lost in extra innings last night. You watch that game, you tell me why anybody on earth who watches baseball would believe that the Mets can actually finish strong here over the next final four games to get themselves into the postseason.
There's nothing that I could say except that they don't necessarily have to finish strong because the other teams aren't playing that well. That's the only answer at this point. That is the only hope. This is an unwatchable circus. I don't know what the hell's wrong with this team. I really don't. I mean, it's almost just too simplistic to say that they're not good enough. I mean, we've seen teams in our city where we know they're a little light in terms of talent. And, you know, not that that's a good feeling, but we can at least understand why they're falling a little bit short. I don't know how many times we've seen teams with high-level talent at the top end that are just disintegrating in this manner on a night-by-night basis. Even their wins are ugly.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, there are a lot of different little things you could point to that are frustrating, but ultimately it boils down to the starting pitcher. You can't continually have guys that go out there and give you a couple innings. Like Jonah Tong, how does stuff look last night?
Not good.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Like, and I can't even blame him because he's a young kid. He shouldn't be in this spot. But was any, like, I was more shocked what Tong did last Thursday against the Padres than I was what he did last night against the Cubs. I expected that after, now you look at his last three starts, two have been god awful. And yet everybody's telling me how great Jonah Tong is. So, and that's just one example. And it's all about Nolan McClain now. Tonight, he's got to be the savior. But think about the back-to-back starts that they had from Peterson and Tong. We are in the bullpen immediately. And now you've got 15 guys coming out of the bullpen each night to a point where last night, Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea are getting in the game.
Doing throw days in games.
Okay, so that's why when I say the Mets don't have enough, if you project this forward, and you could do this last week when they had 9 or 10 games to go, whatever it was, they literally don't have enough. We could argue about who you'd start, who you'd take out of the rotation, who has good stuff, who doesn't. Ultimately, there are no good answers for the Mets. And now I think it's finally caught up with them. No off days, four straight days to go. They've got to win these games. And they have, outside of McClain tonight and a bullpen that with Diaz and Rogers and really getting the night off last night, you would expect this to be the A game tonight. So they have to win this game tonight against the Cubs. And even if they do, what's going to follow over the weekend? Like, they don't even have. So yeah, Sproat's going to get a start. Then it's going to be a bullpen heavy game behind him because that Maxi's six innings. And then who the hell's pitching Saturday and Sunday against the Marlins? Like, they're toast. I'm sorry. They're done.
Okay, so what I don't understand, I need you to help me with this, because I really don't understand this. I understand being light, and I understand giving the baseball to kids who probably aren't ready at this point. And that is out of necessity, because the guys who are making real money and the veterans who are supposed to carry the mail have not done their job. We all understand that. It's unfair to Tong. I do like his stuff. He looks overwhelmed right now. I can't even waste time on that. The poor kid is in a position he shouldn't be in right now.
Because they have no choice.
100%. Right. 100%. Now, can you explain to me why the other basic components of the baseball team are just falling apart? And it's not that, it can't be that, well, it's 157 games and they're tired, or, you know, they're finishing up on the road. I mean, this is the marathon that every other baseball team goes through. I mean, the Cubs are going through it as well. They didn't play well against the Reds the previous series. They looked a little more buttoned up last night. Why can't the Mets catch the baseball? Why can't the Mets suddenly function on the most basic level? That's not Tong. That's not Sprout. That's not a bullpen that's tired. They're not even catching the baseball.
Yeah, but it's not all of them. Like, do you think Pete Alonso's a good defensive player?
I thought that he became serviceable, but he's suddenly taken a massive step back.
Well, I don't
so the answer would be, in a long way, no.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's taking a step back. I just don't think he's ever been good. Like, he's good at picking balls at first.
Yeah.
He can't throw.
Yeah, he can't throw a lick. We all know this.
And he's not a great fielder. Yep. I'm not picking on him. I'm just starting with him.
Yep.
So I don't think he's a good fielder. So when he makes mistakes, it's not like, what the hell's happening here? That, to me, is like, well, he's not very good defensively. You think Mark Vientos a good defensive third baseman?
No, I think he's got a good arm. I think he's got a really good arm, and I think his hands are awful.
Me neither. I don't think he's a good third baseman defensively. I would bet that.
Well,
then
why isn't Beatty playing?
Well, because of matchups, and that's
the matchups.
Issue.
I know he said that last night. I hear you. The lefty stuff. At least Beatty's going to catch the baseball.
Yeah, but even he's not great. But yes, he's a much better defender. But they're trying to get the offense there, like. That's the sign to me of just, you don't, like, it's not like, wow, what the hell's going on here? Vientos making an error. It's that Vientos not very good defensively.
Okay, but then why isn't Holmes covered home plate? I mean. Like, the mental components are not there. The physical, like, some things we understand. You know, sometimes you ask people to do things that they're not really equipped to do because they don't have the talent, or they're just not refined enough yet because they're young, like in the case of Tong. What the hell's Holmes' excuse?
There is no excuse.
I mean, the ball goes back to the backstop. He's staring down at the dirt.
Yeah, a guy's scoring from second. You know why?
Oh, my God.
Because he's thinking that he needs to be better, and he's frustrated with the pitching that he's had lately. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's an excuse. We saw with Gerrit Cole last year in the World Series.
Yep,
like that.
Yep,
it
yep.
happens when guys are just thinking. I'm not absolving him from the blame. It's just a little bit of everything with them. Beatty getting picked off the bases the other day. Like, guys being put in bad positions, guys not being able to field balls properly. Also, guys that aren't just good, period. Whether it's good defensive players, whether it's good enough offensively. Like, it's a culmination of things, but I really do believe that it all stems from the starting pitching. I mean, I've never seen anything like this on a team that has this much talent that can't get starters to go. Like, the worst years of watching the Mets, their starters would go five innings, and it wouldn't be very good five innings, but at least you go five innings, maybe six innings, give up four or five runs. Okay, that's a bad start, but at least you give six innings. These guys are going two innings.
They're getting six, seven outs, if you're lucky.
Dude, and it's been going on for months.
I know it has. And listen, we knew that there was going to be some residual damage downstream with the bullpen. And we say that not just specific to the 2025 Mets. We talk about that a lot. When you have bullpens that are used early, April, May, I mean, that's one of the most basic components of baseball. How many times have we said on the radio, we said this about the Yankees over the years too sometimes. Well, you know, what's the bullpen going to look like in the dog days when you're running them out there every day in the first couple of months of the season? Listen, I still think they're going to get in, only because I don't trust the Reds. I don't trust the other teams, the Diamondbacks. I don't trust the teams. But they look and they feel and they act like a losing team.
Yeah.
That's what they look like right now.
Like a dead team.
Yep.
Now, maybe if they own the tiebreaker over the Reds or Diamondbacks, I'd feel differently. But even the math to me doesn't add up to them going. I know right now it's like, well, all right, well, a day comes off the calendar and they still have a game lead. But to me, it's really not that. There's four games to go. Like, the Mets could have a game lead on the final day of the year and lose, and one of those two teams win, and they're out.
Yes.
Like, so you could take, so one game lead with four to go to me is not comfortable.
Tonight's tonight.
Well, because it's McLain.
Tonight.
If he doesn't give you some, like, McLain's got to go at least six innings, and then you have to hope, cross your fingers, stop me if you've heard this before, Rogers, Raley, Diaz, their best guys in some form, preserve whatever lead they have, assuming that they could actually get a lead and not fumble all over themselves. Like, I just think it's too much to ask at this point. And the Reds and Diamondbacks, one may keep losing. I think the Reds are going to win today. They're not going to get swept by the Pirates. They almost came back yesterday. Like, okay, they lost their two games. They're going to get a win today. At least one, if not both of those teams, will start to win a couple of games here in the final four.
Yeah.
So even if they went 2-2, like, I don't trust that the Mets are going to win tonight, and I don't trust that they're going to take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins.
I feel pretty good about tonight, but the Marlins thing, and listen, we talked about this yesterday. We were kind of just pushing this forward, like, all right, who's going to pitch Saturday? Who's going to pitch Sunday? Well, it looks like a combination of Manaea and Peterson. We talked about this. Peterson, I mean, I know things can change, but if you give the baseball to Peterson with a must-win situation on Sunday, Mets aren't going to the playoffs. If you go to the, in my opinion, if you go to the situation on Saturday where you have to win and Manaea starts the game, Mets aren't going to the playoffs. Like, to me, there's one hope. I mean, that they score 8 runs and they just bludgeon a couple of teams down the stretch and they outscore them.
Yeah, and hope that you can hold the other team off.
Hope you can hold on.
Dude, here's all you need to know, and then we'll get to the calls here, 888-808-1019. The night before, their all-star, David Peterson, couldn't get it out of the second inning, okay? They had to go to 6, whatever it was. Last night, there's 5 games to go in the season. You're fighting for your playoff lives. Richard Lovelady is on the mound in the third inning.
Dude.
Richard bleeping Lovelady.
This guy, his name just cracks me. It's like you can't make it up. It's like, you know, Richard Lovelady's
five
on the mound.
Games that season to go. The highest payroll in the sport. You're fighting for your playoff life. You watch that game in the third inning and Richard Lovelady's in.
My son goes, who the hell's this guy?
Same.
Last night.
Same, Colt.
Who is this guy?
And then not only that, you have to go to your starters. Like,
I know.
This is not even us saying, like, oh, they don't have enough. Or they're showing you. Like, Mendy's like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I know.
I thought about going to this game tonight because my buddies are going. I just can't make the trip. It's impossible to take the time off. It's chaos for us. Like, busiest time of the year. But, like, I feel like if I showed up in the stands at Wrigley tonight, Mendy may turn to me and be like, Licata, you got anything for us? Like, I could use you. That's how, like, they will take anything they could possibly get. Maybe they should call up R.A. Dickey. Forget about Dickey Lovelady. Call up R.A. Dickey, who was blowing knuckleballs by Piazza on Old Timers Day. Like, maybe go get him. He can get you out of
there. Johan looked pretty good, too, in the alumni game.
He's
got that good changeup still.
Put it this way. R.A. Dickey can't be worse than David Peterson, Jonah Tong, or anybody else that's been pitching for the Mets outside of Nolan McClain for the last 3 months.
Listen, I know that we said this, but this has to be said again. In a pennant race here, where every out matters, the Mets last night went to not one, but 2 guys who should be throwing in the bullpen to get ready for their next start, and they pitched in the game last night. And didn't pitch particularly well, by the way.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jack is calling from Hoboken. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so the Mets have, you know, a lot of issues. You know, I like the strength of their lineup, way too inconsistent. But, I mean, David Stearns brought this upon himself by being way too cautious when it comes to pitching. Like, it's absolutely unacceptable that you're bringing up a 22-year-old in a pennant race and expecting him to save the day when you have the richest owner in baseball. And that's why, you know, you see the Yankees are still a World Series contender and the Mets are not.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I think the Yankees are far better, and thank you for the call. See, when the season is over and the Mets do, in fact, miss the postseason, Stearns is going to be the number one bullseye. He'll be the number one target, and rightfully so. However, what makes you think Stearns was counting on Jonah Tong? He wasn't. He had no choice. It is fair to criticize Stearns for the lack of quality arms in the offseason. However, they did have 9 serviceable starters that almost to a man, every single one of them has fallen apart. Did anybody think Manaea would not pitch well when he came back? Did anybody expect that Kodai Senga wouldn't be at least serviceable since he came back from injury? Like, those guys you can't blame Stearns for. You want to get on Holmes. You want to get on the
Montas.
Others. Yeah, and they did have, well, that
just
was
just
a
just giving you the whole picture.
Yeah,
Griffin Canning was pitching pretty well before he ruptures Achilles, to be fair.
Trade deadline. Like, you know, again, Tyler Miguel. Like, a lot of their depth, not that I'm saying that they're great, but
they had a lot of arms.
A lot of their depth. They did have quantity,
yeah,
not quality.
I agree with that.
They did have quantity. And then it was one by one guys dropping like flies. And then the guys that you relied on, like the 3 biggest culprits to me, Peterson, Manaea, Senga, those are the 3 that you had the highest expectations for. And all 3 have been disasters for the last 2 months. And those guys, to me, you can't get on Stearns for. Everybody else, Yes, those three, I'm not so sure you could get on Stearns.
I mean, whenever we have the conversation about the Mets offseason, Stearns he's going to get absolutely crushed because I think he's had an awful year this year. Not that I think that he should get fired. I'm not saying that at all. He won't be. But I think almost every move that he has made has been an F. But we have time to talk about that. But I said this 2 weeks ago. I said there's really only two factions or groups that have really done their job. The owner's done his job. Right. Cohen's cut the checks. And the fans have done their job because they've showed up. Of course, Soto's had a great statistical season.
So
is Pete.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, when you look at the hierarchy of a franchise, right? So you have the ownership, you have the GM, you have the manager. Owner, A+ this year. Mm-hmm. GM, to me, an F. Mendy, about a C- or a D. That's just my opinion. So now you get into the players, and Lindor's been hot recently, but he's been a little bit up and down. All the things, we can get into the weeds with your own. We don't really need to do it now. But when you have a GM that has had the kind of year that Stearns has had, you're in trouble. Much like now, Cashman finally, to me, gets like an A- or maybe higher, which is why the Yankees have some life. But if Cashman had maybe the trade deadline or the offseason that he's had in prior years, I don't think the Yankees would have the opportunity to maybe do what we think they could do because the GM elevated them. And I don't even mean to bring the Yankees, but I really, I shouldn't even do that. But I think really Cashman elevated the Yankees this year. And I really think that Stearns' moves really... It just brought the Mets down. Well, everything he did has failed.
It's actually hard to miss on as many as he's missed.
It's almost impossible.
Almost everyone has been a disaster.
Yeah.
However, the reason why the Mets are in this predicament, to me, is a combination of Stearns' bad moves, off-season, in-season, whatever, plus the players sucking. Like, it's not just, well, Stearns, you put this team together. Oh, did anybody not want David Peterson, Sean Manaea, or Kodai Senga in the rotation? And now those guys can't get anybody out. Like that's 3/5 of the starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have come to that.
That part's fair. That's fair.
So it's not just all on David Stearns. Anybody not want Mark Vientos in the lineup?
No, but think about if center field was handled differently. Think about if he did get another starter, which a lot of us were saying that he should.
I know, but who's that guy?
I don't know.
He relied on the young guys to come up instead of going out there in the trade deadline, and that has actually worked. Like, McLean has been a stud. There was no arm that he could have gotten on the trade deadline that would have been better than Nolan McLean.
Well, the one thing, I hear you on that, because there were no other arms outside of, Bieber, right, that were really dealt.
I
hear you. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't maybe incentivize a team to give up somebody that they didn't. Like, when people say, well, nobody was traded, what did you want them to do? Well, what I would say, whether it's Stearns or anybody else, how about you construct a deal that's appealing enough to maybe make somebody trade you somebody?
Right, but then who would have been that guy?
I don't know. And that's his job.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I just don't think that there was a definitive, like, they got to go get this guy. I remember feeling at the time, whatever. Because you're also factoring in, well, Senga's coming back, Manaea's coming back, and they could go into the minors. All of those things happen. It's just that Senga couldn't get anybody out. Manaea couldn't get anybody out. Peterson fell apart. They did go to the minors, and one of the guys is a stud. The other two have at least been serviceable for the most part. Like, I mean, I don't know what more he could have asked for there, but there is no doubt about it that Stearns has had an F of a season. Jimmy is calling from Smithtown. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I know this maybe sounds simplistic, but ever since that time Soto said that Marte was the leader in the clubhouse, I don't know. Things seem to have gone downhill. I mean, there's other contributing factors, of course, you know, the pitching and the not hitting in the clutch. But it just seems since that day, really, like, the whole vibe around the team just isn't the same.
Well, really, it was before that, though, Jimmy, and thank you for the call. And nobody really made a big deal about that, and I was shocked that nobody did make a big deal about that Soto clearly saying that Marte was the leader in that clubhouse. But that, to me, like, they've been playing bad since June 13th. That came out at the end of August.
Yep.
Even if you look to August, like, the Mets have been playing poor baseball from August on. So I don't think that has to do with why they're struggling.
I don't either. And we talked about it a little bit. I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was more like Soto was trying to illuminate Marte's strengths rather than downgrade Soto. That was downgrade Lindor. Yep. Pardon me. That was my take then. And that's still my take. And by the way, if you think about the three components that were involved in that, Soto has played very well since then. Lindor has hit very well since then, and Marte's been very good since then. So the other stuff I can't possibly quantify, but see, I don't use, and you, the Mets aren't collapsing. This is not like a 17 to go and up 7. This is not that. This is not 2007 or 2008. Though I would not use the word collapse. I would use the word implosion.
Right.
It's different. Like, collapse tells me you got a couple of games to go and suddenly you just lose your way and somehow you fall apart and you just choke it away. It's not a choke job or a collapse. It's just an inner implosion, like the guts of the team. When you lift up the hood for the Mets,
they don't have enough.
It's not pretty, man.
They don't have enough. A collapse is what is going on with the Detroit Tigers. I mean,
that is
a collapse. And by the way, the sport is just, it's wild. The Blue Jays are collapsing.
No, I'm not seeing that. Let's go.
Suck on
that, Buck.
Like, that is a part of it. And not yet, but it will happen eventually. The Blue Jays, Yankees, I can't wait. It's going to be a sweet victory lap if the Yanks do, in fact, pass the Blue Jays and win that AL East. But yeah, that to me is like, uh-oh, Blue Jays choking away a division. The Tigers, full-blown collapse. The Mets just don't have enough. They've been trying to hang on. They don't have enough, and I don't know how they're going to get through the final four games. Maybe outside of tonight with McLean, there are no answers pitching-wise for the next three games beyond tonight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days. Ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tony Richardson in studio at 1 o'clock. Week 4 already, BT. We're just talking about it. You know, it flies by. We've gone over this stuff. You know, Mike been saying the same thing for years. It really is. As you get older, just time. I'm trying to slow it down a little bit in my mind.
Good luck.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It doesn't work, dude.
I was having a conversation with my uncle about this the other day, and he's just like, well, you have to live in the moment. Stop, like, looking ahead. Okay, well, we got to do this. We got to do that. Like, live in the moment best you can.
That's good advice. He's the uncle that I met.
No, that's Uncle John. No, Uncle John. Uncle John's hit me up for Yankees tickets left and right. My Uncle Sal, he's giving me life advice. Uncle John's like, bro, I need playoff tickets. I'm like, get the hell out of here, playoff tickets. No chance. You get your regular season tickets, no playoff tickets.
Okay.
No, but my Uncle Sal was just, you know, we were talking about, I want to try to, I know it can't slow down.
No.
But mentally, if you could just at least feel like, and I think that is one way to do it, stop looking ahead and stop planning. Or whatever, you plan your thing, but don't look to it. Just live in the moment. Now, whether it's 15 minutes this morning with Sammy, playing with Lilo and Stitch, or whatever it may be, you know, before we got to get ready, she goes to school and I go to work, whatever it may be, just live in the moment.
I like that. By the way, big Lilo and Stitch fan in our house as well. My daughter loves Lilo and Stitch. The pajamas, the whole spiel.
So,
it's awesome.
So there's at Costco. You do Costco?
I never go. My wife goes. I told you I'd never go to Costco. I'll never step foot in there, ever.
I love Costco.
I know. I
don't love the traffic there, but.
I went once years ago to get some shrimp for Christmas Eve. and it's just mayhem. Like, they have great stuff, and I could get lost in there for hours, but I just can't deal with that amount of people.
That's the thing. I'm like, I need that, and I need that. So I saw this. It's like a real FX Stitch puppet.
Okay.
That has sound and everything. I saw, like, I went in there. My wife said, go pick up this stuff. And naturally, I see that. I'm like, oh, I got to have this. Like, Sammy's going to freak out with this. And then we use it to motivate potty training and all that stuff.
There you go.
So, anyway, maybe Santa can, for Kins, get the little Stitch. They have Angel. I don't even know who the hell Angel is. Her friend there. But,
yeah.
But it's if you're a big Lilo and Stitch, that is a great toy.
She loves them. She's actually got the pajamas where it's like the head of Lilo. Like, so you've got to get that for Sammy. That stuff is on. We didn't have any of that cool stuff growing up. Although, we did have underoos. Remember the underoos?
Yeah.
Were you old enough for those? Where you get, like, the tidy whities, but they were like Batman or Superman or Aquaman?
I remember them. I don't recall wearing them.
Oh, they were awesome. They came in like a, almost like a, remember the records used to come in that big
square.
Big square. Yeah. They would come in there. I remember my sister had Wonder Woman, I had Batman, I had Aqua, they had Iron Man, Green Lantern. Oh my God, it was the best.
See, this stuff makes me happy. Yeah, I like talking about fun. I don't want to talk about the Mets.
Well, because Uncle Sal, he opened up another part of your brain just to enjoy life by the minute. Uncle Sal's smart.
I can't listen to him. No, I'm going to listen to him, but then I get back to being aggravated with watching the Mets. I got to be honest, I'm looking forward more watching going home watching Black Rabbit tonight than I am the Mets.
Stop.
That's good.
Come on, dude.
I do not like the enjoyment that you get right now. The enjoyment that Yankee fans get right now is different from what I'm experiencing, and I would assume most Mets fans, Hoff, I know we were just talking about that, like, to me, it's not like, here we go, playoff baseball. I'm getting texts from Mitch and all my Yankee fan friends, playoff baseball. Yeah, for you, maybe it's exciting. It is not exciting for me to put on the Mets where I know more often than not they're going to aggravate the hell out of me. And you saw that again last night. A part of me was happy. Good, I could shut it off now and put it on the iPad and watch a Black Rabbit because I got 3 episodes to go in it, which is a great show.
First season or how many seasons, Jay?
You know, it's only one.
Okay, good.
It's one. It's 8 episodes. Jason Bateman, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I would have checked this out. You were telling me about it yesterday.
Oh,
Bateman's
God,
funny.
I love it. But that brings me joy. Watching the Mets, I wish it did. It doesn't right now.
Well, you use the word exciting. I wouldn't use the word exciting as I watch the Mets ever. I mean, I've watched every watched the Mets more in the last couple of nights than I have the Yankees.
Right,
so usually
games,
I kind of flip. It's not exciting, but it's incredibly interesting. Now, interesting has some broad parameters. You could have an interesting car crash. You could have an interesting, you know, renaissance at the end of the season like Lazarus. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's certainly interesting.
Can I tell you, though, what's helped me through this?
Drugs?
No, don't do drugs. Never have. Nope,
surf
not
sides.
That either. Yeah, well, sometimes. resigning to last week, because you know I was saying, I was sticking through the storm like, nah, I believe they're going to make it for multiple reasons. They should be good enough. The other teams aren't good enough to catch them. But then they just kept losing and losing and losing. And as I was doing the math for the final 10 games, I'm like, they don't have enough. Like, we were debating all the different options and arguing about, oh, who cares about his stuff? He's a rookie or whatever it may be. No, I'd go with Manaea. And then I came to the conclusion, like, there are no good options. And once you accept that, and I acknowledge that and accept it, I actually just don't think they have enough to make it. So once I resign myself to letting go of the rope, I'm not getting hurt by their performance anymore because I expect it. Whereas in 2022, I was holding on saying they're going to win this division. They didn't. I took that personally. That was rough on me.
Yeah.
Well, bad years. Like, obviously, it's frustrating at the end. It's maddening and frustrating and very disappointing. But I'm just saying I resigned to the idea that they're not getting in. And that has lessened the sting for me on a nightly basis.
Listen, when you're supposed to be average and you're really good, it's amazing. Like last year for the Mets, an amazing year. But it's the opposite. When you're supposed to be really good and you look broken, that's where, whether it's apathy or just a less level of interest, whatever, I understand why that's creeping in, but understand what still remains. You guys aren't dead yet.
Correct. That's the part that tries to get you back in. I'll regenerate or wake up if, in fact, they get there. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Gary is in Clearwater Beach, Florida. What's up, Gary?
BT and Sal, how are you guys?
How are you, Gary?
What up, Gary?
Excellent. I'm a longtime Mets fan. I grew up in northern New Jersey. Now I'm down here in Florida. And I look at this a little differently. I don't think talent is an issue. We know that the Mets have a lot of streaky hitters, and their pitching is streaky, where you're going to have the ebb and flows in the season. But the way I look at it, BT and Sal, is this team has completely gone off the rails on basic, simplistic play. Fundamentally, mental breakdowns, mistakes. Like, I kind of, the analogy I'll make to football is that they lost their way on blocking and tackling. Simple things. And they throw to the wrong base. They don't cover bases. They're all over the field throwing the ball. Last night, Clay Holmes, if you're a little leaguer and you have a guy like that guy on second base who can run like a deer, and you're saying to yourself, okay, if I'm going to throw a slider, I'm going to throw a sinker, it may go into dirt, I got to be there on the home plate because that kid can fly.
Mm-hmm.
He throws it and he stays on the mound. And I'm like, I've never seen this before in 60 years of watching baseball where you have an individual who doesn't cover home base. The guy scores from second base. It's ridiculous.
The Mets can't score their guys from second base on a base hit. The Cubs score from second base on a wild pitch. I mean, therein lies the problem. Holmes was out to lunch. He's thinking about his next pitch or thinking about that pitch. He's frustrated saying, well, there wasn't anybody on third. Nobody's going to go home. That's great awareness by PCA and the Cubs, and awful awareness and just falling asleep by Holmes and the Mets.
That is really unforgivable. I mean, you know, balls hit at you. It's a rocket. Maybe it takes a bad hop. Maybe it handcuffs you. Maybe you get the short hop. You're thinking you're getting a long hop. Like, there's baseball reasons why these guys aren't robots where you can understand a mistake. Not that I gave him a full pass, but the other night with Soto in right field, There was only an 18% hit probability on that play. So 80%, you're basically supposed to make that. But it was windy. There's no cushion. I didn't give him a pass, but at least
he's
I can
make the play.
I know. I hear you. But at least I could understand that a little bit more. Last night, when you just check out mentally, That was the most egregious thing of the night. You have to cover home. I've seen that with the kids that I coach. Yeah. You know, they're very rare. Right. It's going from second to home a couple times. You don't see that in the bigs. You should never see that.
See, Soto's wasn't a lack of awareness or a lack of energy or effort. It was just he misplayed a ball. Yeah, in the wind, sure, but a good defensive outfielder.
It was a physical mistake.
Which is allowed. You know he's not a great defensive player, so that's fine. I'm not just giving him a pass because I love Juan Soto because of what he's done this year. But that's a physical mistake. It happens. He's got to make that play. He didn't. You have to live with it. That's part of the deal with Juan Soto. The other stuff, getting picked off on the bases like Brett Beatty, you know, bad throws on routine plays. Did you hear Mendy call out Vientos?
I did. You know what? I appreciated his honesty and his rawness. I thought he was very good in the postgame. He sounded different, finally.
Correct.
I like that.
That's why, to me, like, we could grade Mendy and however you want to grade him. Last year, I'd give him an A+. This year, I'd say, all right, maybe C+, B-. He's not the problem. He's had very little to work with. He hasn't been as good as he was a year ago. I hate that he's been a slave to these matchups here, the analytics and the data. But he, to me, still is the right guy in New York, and he has the right temperament, not afraid to hold guys accountable. I think there was a while where he was trying with the positive messaging, and maybe he's reached his breaking point. Thank God, finally. But hey, that's a routine play. This is a big league. You got to make that play.
It was word for word. And I was like, oh, okay, here you go.
Finally.
My ears perked up. I'm like, that's what I've been waiting to hear.
Yeah, that's what we've all been waiting to hear. Maybe that'll wake them up a little bit. I have my doubts. I just don't know if they have it in them, but
well,
I like that.
Even like with Cole with the World Series not getting over to first base, or Jazz in against the Marlins where he just wandered off for first base, or Austin Wells not knowing how many outs there are. Those are unforgivable things, and then that's in the category of what Clay Holmes did last night. A bad hop, a bad play, a bad throw. They're not robots, even though they're so talented. Sometimes they seem like it, but to me, when the mind is no longer with the body, and they don't seem to be very connected for the Mets right now, mentally they're out of it, Physically they're out of it. I mean, I would be saying the exact opposite. If the Reds were better, or the Giants were better, or the Diamondbacks were better, I would be straight up saying the Mets are 100% dead. The only reason I'm saying they're not is because the teams around them, they're pretty much the same teams.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
We'll get to these Met calls. Obviously, another mess last night for the Mets. Rodon tonight. All right, so a couple things here. Obviously, the Yankees and the Jays dead heat. 90 wins apiece, 68 losses. The Jays have lost 6 of 10. They're reeling. The Yankees have won 7 of 10. They're humming. Now, last night, we'll do a little MVP stuff later with Raleigh and Judge because the odds have changed and maybe the conversation's changed a bit as well. But can I just tell you one thing that bothers me about baseball? And, you know, you didn't really know it in real time. We sensed it, and we tried to get a sense of what or a true sense of what it would mean down the road. Well, here we are down the road. The impact of the steroid era, right? And I don't mean just about the Hall of Fame. That's a boring conversation, all right? You either want these guys in or you don't. But last night, Aaron Judge hits number 50 and number 51. So he's the fourth player in the history of baseball to have 50 home runs four times or more in his career. The other three would be Babe Ruth, would be Sosa, and McGuire. All right, so what I don't understand is...
I'm shocked that that's the whole list.
Yeah, like you would have thought maybe like a Jimmy Fox not a Mantle, but a Fox or one of those older names, like a, I don't know, a Kiner.
Which plays to the point of like me growing up in the steroid era thinking 50 is a great accomplishment, but like not that great of an accomplishment.
Yeah, real quick though, because that's interesting. What was the first time that you ever heard 50? I remember...
Cecil Fielder.
Okay, good. Okay, so and that's the age difference between us. And I remember he hit 50 and 51, I think against the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
90? We could double check. Like that, okay. 90, 91, something like that. Either way, I think the first time I ever heard 50 home runs, and I was only 3 or 4 when he did it, but I feel like I heard it a couple of years after that when George Foster did it with the Reds.
Okay.
He had 50-something. Either way, see, this is the problem here. So you're watching the Yankees last night, you know, you're scrolling through social media, oh, wow, what another amazing accomplishment for Aaron Judge. And you understand that, but, you know, if you just see Ruth and Judge... instead of Ruth, Sosa, McGuire, and Judge. Maybe I'm being a little petty here, but to me it changes the context of history a little bit. If they're not going to be in the Hall of Fame, then don't include them on these stats, these historical footnotes.
I know, it's just a weird, like, what are they supposed to do? It happened, they don't want to acknowledge it, but it is part of the record books. Dude, you know what's wild? Like, you asked me, and I'm just like, Cecil Fielder, that's the first one I remember, and I'm thinking, like, who did I miss in there? It goes from Foster in 77,
yep,
which was before my time.
Yeah, sure.
To Cecil Fielder.
Is that true? There wasn't one?
1990. Foster, 77, hit 52 home runs. Fielder hit 51 in 1990.
So it was 90, okay. And I think it was against the Yankees, the last one. I think.
That I don't know.
Either
have
way, yep. Here. Yep.
And then from there, 95, 96, 96.
Brady Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. That one I remember. Albert Bell, Mark McGuire, Brady Anderson, Mark McGuire, Griffey Jr., Sosa, McGuire. Like it goes on. Greg Vaughn. Like,
oh, gosh.
That's why to me it felt like it was bigger, I think, than it is in reality. Like more people did it because after 95 on, it happened with regularity. But meanwhile, prior to that, it happened in 1965. Obviously, we know about 61 with Mantle and Maris. 65 with Willie Mays. 77 with Foster, 90 with Cecil Fielder, yep. and then the steroid era with Albert Bell getting things kicked off in 95. That is wild to me.
Well, that's kind of my point, yeah, too. Yeah. And here we are. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, they don't deserve to be lumped in there. I'm sorry. So I just pulled up. If you could pull up Mickey Mantle for a sec, just out of curiosity. We'll geek out for a sec. Then we'll get back to the call. So, you know, again, one of my early visuals was obviously seeing Reggie, whether it was this week in baseball. I don't even know how I saw it for the first time. But when Reggie hit the 3 home runs in the World Series in the 70s against the Dodgers, right? Reggie never even had more than 41 home runs, dude. No, I'm sorry. He had 47 with Oakland in his third year. And then it was a lot of 30s and 36s and 141 in 80. And then 39, and that was it. And when we were growing up, I just remember whether it was stickers or baseball cards or just watching games and reading the paper. Like, it seemed like all the Mike Schmidt and Reggie and Gorman Thomas and those guys, they would hit like 36 or 37, and that would lead the league in home runs.
Like, if you would have asked me name 50 home runners, I probably would have guessed Mike Schmidt, and he never did it, right?
No, I don't even think Mike Schmidt. I don't even know if Mike had 40.
Mike who?
Mike Schmidt. Cam Schlittler?
Right, I don't know why, but I would have, just because I know the 500, maybe I would get that mixed up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so Mantle did it twice. He had 52 home runs in 1956.
Okay.
And then he had 54 home runs in 1961.
Think about that, Mickey Mantle twice. I just want to double check to make sure that Schmidt did not do it. I don't think he did. No, he had 48 in 80, and then he had 40 in 83, and most were in the high 30s. So, right. Listen, what does it all mean? It really doesn't mean anything. It's just my way of pointing a spotlight on the cheaters and how somebody like Aaron Judge, could you just think about this for a second? Can you imagine if Aaron Judge was taking steroids?
Yeah.
What would he get, 75? 80?
Yeah, I mean, players nowadays don't get the benefit of the doubt, especially when you do something that, like Aaron Judge is doing something that no other human not on steroids has done.
And that's my point. Then take away Sosa and McGuire's name from the stat. Because they're lumping them in. And say, so if you're a 15-year-old kid right now and you're watching the Yankees last night, yeah, maybe you heard about steroids, but you don't really know. You don't delineate between doing it the right way and the wrong way. Why would you? You're looking at a stat, and why would you think that there's four different, you know, like or different paths to get there?
Right.
It's just unfair to judge. And Ruth.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here on the Mets. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, BT and Sal. How we doing there?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I don't know. It's just very tough watching this, but there is blame on everyone on this team because it isn't one person. But to me, it is one person, and it was Stern. He did not do his job being the general manager, did not get the pitching. You know, pitching is 80% of the game, especially down in the playoffs. It is part of the game. Now, Sally, I remember last year when we got Soto, how excited we were. And I said the job wasn't done. And you kind of said, Charlie, enjoy the moment. I couldn't enjoy the moment because you got Soto, we still needed a number one pitcher. We never had a number one pitcher. You know, Yankees, they lose Cole. What do? Cashman goes out and goes against the number one. And that's what the Mets had to do. And they didn't do that. And they were relying on the same thing he did last year. And he lucked out last year. Yeah, those deals pulled out. Manaea did a good job last year. But he was relying on lower twos and threes pitches becoming number ones. And they did it last year. But you know what? He thought he was going to hit again, and he didn't. He rolled snake eyes and didn't do his job.
Okay, so
and now he took some hits and injuries.
But now he's got to learn from it. And the only counter that I would have, and we had this conversation in the offseason, because it wasn't like everybody was just like, oh, yeah, the Mets don't need pitching. No, everybody acknowledged that they could benefit from having a top-end starter, but the talk was Corbin, and this was before they actually got Soto, and who knows what the pivot would have been, but I have a feeling even if they didn't get Soto, they weren't getting a big arm anyway. They didn't want Corbin Burns, and Max Fried ended up going to the Yankees. Now, would that have flipped? I don't know if Stearns, I don't believe his philosophy is to invest in, you know, high-end starting pitching, long-term big money. That would have been the one guy, BT, that I would have gone after, but I wanted Soto. So the Mets got Soto. I didn't care what they did at the starting rotation. Figure it out. Put it together. You can't ask for Soto and Max Fried. That's not realistic.
No, that's I don't care how much money Cohen has. That's ridiculous, yeah. Is right. So to me, you know, you hear the expression read the room, right? You go into a room, read what's there, and then adapt, right?
Right.
And you just use the word adapt with Stearns. This is going to be a very interesting year to offseason to test his adaptability because what he had in Milwaukee as a mindset works in Milwaukee and worked his first year with the Mets now, and that's his comfort zone. You know, it's not going out and giving big money to a pitcher. But I think that this should provide some evidence that he's got to meet somewhere in the middle and maybe extend the boundaries of what he's willing to do to give some money to a high-ticket guy at the top of the rotation.
I would be willing to bet anything that he's not going to change his philosophy on that. But
well,
also,
that's not a good thing.
No, you've heard him. Well, how do we know? Like, who are the guys out there that you're going to go give $300 million to in the starting rotation?
How about Scooble if he doesn't resign with the Tigers?
Yeah,
I want to be at the line for Scooble for the Yankees. You don't want him?
No, I would not.
What?
I would not. It's not that I don't want him. I also don't believe in investing big money in high-end starting pitching, especially where you have all the money elsewhere. Now, you want to tell me they trade Lindor or Nimmo and change the way the team is structured and put a little more money into the starting pitching, and I'm not sure Scoob will be the guy. I'd have to like really look into it and see how much it's going to cost. But only that, like, I would definitely not do it now. Just, oh yeah, let's go get another $300 million contract on top of it. Not to mention that they do have Nolan McLean and Sproat and Tong. But like Stern said it the other day, it's all about developing young pitching. Those guys were drafted before he got here. Billy Epler and his regime deserves credit for those three guys. But that's what it's going to be about, developing young pitching. So you have those guys in the prime of their careers when, you know, they first come up under team control for cheap before the injuries start to happen. Even then, you can't guarantee with the injuries.
No, you can't. But listen, Sal, I thought that that was part of the calculus coming in here. Like, hey, we've got some young guys who are just on the cusp of being ready, and we know McLean's the real. We strongly think he's the real deal, and I'm not worried about Tong. It's too early for him. But he's got good stuff, and obviously, Sproat's pretty good as well. And they got more coming, so that's part of the mindset. Clearly, where if you have a couple of guys you really believe in, and other teams covet the Mets pitchers too, it's not just like the Mets trumping up their guys. Oh, we got some good arms. Major League Baseball knows that the Mets have some good young pitching prospects, so that was part of the reason they didn't go nuts. But I cannot imagine a world, especially if they don't make the playoffs, where whether it's Skeens or Scooble, where Cohen isn't like, dude, you better get one of these guys here. I can't imagine Cohen lets that kind of arm.
Well, Skeens is a different. So, like, you tell me you're going to go. I'd rather trade for somebody who's under team control and younger, and then I can decide what I'm going to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then just go out there and be like, okay, well, this guy hit the open market. Let's go spend him. Now, again, I have to see how it plays out. I just don't believe that that's the right. I'd rather invest in the lineup than I would starting pitch. I told you, the only guy I would have invested in this year would have been Fried. And even that, I mean, it's year one. It looks great now. It's a long way. It's 8 years.
Agreed. But if you had Max Fried now, it doesn't mean that he's 19-5 with a sub-3 ERA and a whip that's barely one. I got you.
Yeah.
But if you guys had Max Fried this year, guess what?
Yeah.
You're not in this predicament. Yeah. So it only takes one guy to change the whole thing.
I know, but they already have the highest payroll by a lot. So like, you're asking to add another $218 million contract on that. Like, things have to change before you start balancing it out a little bit. They've already invested heavily, whether it be in Diaz as a closer, Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, $30 million a year, Soto, obviously an absurd contract. Like,
yep.
To throw in Fried on top of that, well, then why stop? Why not just, why stop there? Just go get everybody else. I mean, they tried to get Sasaki or they tried to get Yamamoto. That
mm-hmm.
didn't happen.
They did. But don't you think they've got enough young guys, whether it's Alvarez, whether it's Beatty, whether it's Vientos, are making, you know, peanuts, and even some of the young pitchers who we all like here? I mean, again, I understand you can't expect Cohen to spend $450. Understood. But, I mean, you know, when the starters can't get 8-9 outs, I mean, I mean, Max Fried would change everything.
You got to get some.
He's gone. You can't get him. I understand it's too late. But I'm saying philosophically down the road, I mean, they're going to need an ace. Now, maybe it's McLean. Here's what I'm saying.
I don't even think they're one. Like, they could have Max Fried right now. That's great. He pitches once every 5 days.
No, I understand that. But if he.
It wouldn't help the Mets.
But if he makes 33 starts and he wins 16, 17 games where he gives you a chance to win 23 of the 33 starts, Mets are a playoff team. It's a lock right now. One guy can make that big of a difference.
I don't believe that that's the case. I think in the postseason, sure.
Well, think about it this way. If Max Fried was not on the Yankees this year, are the Yankees a playoff team? I don't know. Probably not.
I still think they would be because
they're not. I mean, it depends what they would have had in their place. But if it was another Will Warren type, I can make the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.